have several messages that I've preached from this passage of Scripture. I just love this passage of Scripture and what it teaches us. So this message is kind of a combination of the former messages that I preached on the Good Samaritan. And so as we begin, this is a story that took place over an area of land that when we were in Israel, we saw as we were going up the mountain towards Jerusalem, we could look over and we could see that area that, at least part of that area that, actually most of it, that took place in this particular story. And when we made that trip, we were not able to go to Jericho. Highway 90 runs from Galilee down to Highway 1, which meets right at the top of the Dead Sea. And so when you get to Highway 1, you turn right and you go up to Jerusalem, 19 miles up the hill. And we were not able to go to Jericho. We drove right by it. As a matter of fact, the Palestinians, they have control of Jericho now. And you can see Jericho as a tourist, but you have to hire an Arab guide to take you in. They won't allow a Jewish guide to take you in. We had a free day that we could have done that. And the same is true of Bethlehem, by the way. It's held by the Palestinians. And so if you want to visit either one of those two places, you have to have an Arab guide. It was in the year 2000 that Israel, you come straight down from the Sea of Galilee on Highway 90, and when you get down to Jericho, it used to go right through Jericho, but now they had to build a bypass around, so you have to take that bypass to go around Jericho. Jericho is located just a few miles north of the Dead Sea. And they say that Jericho is the oldest city in the world. I don't know. But it is also near the Jordan River. And if you were to cross the Jordan River into Arab country of Jordan, you would be very near Mount Nebo, where Moses died. Just south of Jericho is Highway 1, as I said, that travels from the Dead Sea up to Jerusalem. So Jericho is a little northeast from Jerusalem, and it's downhill. And I want you to notice in our text, in verse 30, when Jesus begins this parable, he said, and a certain man went, what? Down. It's all downhill. Now, if you're going from Jerusalem to Jericho, well, that's nice, 19 miles downhill. But if you're going from Jericho to Jerusalem, oh, that's 19 miles uphill. It's okay when you're in a car, but if you had to walk it as you would in the days of Christ, you know, it would be a task. And yet that's a significant part of our story, as we shall see. So let's look at the story of the Good Samaritan and see what we can learn about being a Good Samaritan. There's three things I want you to note tonight. The first one, I want you to note the condition of the stranger. Two things that you can see First of all, he had been assaulted. Thieves have attacked him, and they left him naked, wounded, and dying. In ancient times, and as well as in modern times, there's what you call a wadi. And a wadi is an area where in the rainy season you would have a stream. It was very dry in that part of Israel and in that part of the world. And so that doesn't happen just during the whatever is a rainy season there. But so they used that wadi just to travel as a trail down to Jericho. And it wouldn't be like the streams we have around here, you know, full of rocks and all that. It would be pretty smooth, just sand. And there are some rocks around, but it would be a very easy place to walk in. And so, by the way, it's easier going down than up in an elevation change of nearly 4,000 feet. The Dead Sea is 1,300 feet below sea level. It's the lowest land you can get to in the whole world. Jerusalem is 2,700 feet above sea level. So if you add 2,700 to 1,300, what do you get? You get 4,000 feet of elevation just going that 19 miles from Jericho up to Jerusalem. And as that wadi winds its way through the Judean hills there, there are places that are so close together that you never see the sunshine. And you can see from that why it was a popular place for thieves. Now, they could hide there in the shadows and they could rob. Someone who was coming down that area alone, as they did with this certain man, verse 30. It, by the way, it gives new meaning to Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, that talks about the valley of the shadow of death. And in this story, it certainly was that. And that is why it was so dangerous for this certain man, this stranger, that traveled down that trail. And by the way, when you read about this stranger in verse 30, he offers for us a picture of the sinner, of the lost person. The thieves stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And when you think about it, that's the condition of anyone that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so he went down. By the way, everyone who is apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the direction they're headed. We talk about glorious things and we look forward to going up to heaven, right? But he was traveling on his way down. And for the majority of people in this world, that's the way they're traveling. They're traveling down. They're headed to hell. And then it says he fell. And of course he fell among thieves. That reminds us of Romans 3:23, which says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that's a picture we have. We also see the effects of sin on life. It will wound you, and it will leave you to die. And apart from Jesus Christ, you will die eternally. So this man had been assaulted, and the thieves left him. And so he not only had been assaulted, but the second point is he had been abandoned. He'd been abandoned. The thieves leaving him is a picture of what Satan and sin will do to you. And you will be abandoned without hope unless someone tells you about Christ. And so he was wounded. And we're reminded that sin leaves an incurable wound, again, apart from Jesus Christ. That wound is fatal. Now I want you to notice under this second point, he'd been abandoned, what the characters of this story represent and their philosophies. The thieves exploited this man. They took what he had and they left him to die. The thieves had a philosophy of life, and their philosophy is what is yours is mine. That's the philosophy of the thief, isn't it? What belongs to you, I'm going to take it. It's mine now. And then there's a priest and Levite. While the thieves exploited this man, the priest and Levite avoided this man. They had a different philosophy. Their philosophy is, what's mine is mine. They thought they had something religiously, but they weren't going to share it. They weren't going to have compassion upon this man. Now, I want you to see what this involved. And I need some people to help me. Dave, would you be the man that got robbed, the thief? Just come up here and lay down between those two pews. And if you need help up, Caleb will help you up. Maybe swing your feet around. We got some people that has to come by you. Okay. The first person that comes by is a priest. So, Isaac, you want to be the priest? Okay. Now, you do what the scripture says. You're coming by this man, and the priest, you might, you want to get on the other side of him here. Don't kick him in the head, but you just go by him. Okay. And we're going to look at that a little bit more in the message. So, priest, you can sit down up there somewhere, and we'll just let Dave lay there for a while. The priest represented religion. Religion may have an outward purity, but inwardly it's filthy. Religion never saved anybody. Religion never helped anybody. The majority of people in this world are religious, but they're lost. And the priest represents that. And so as he walked by, what did he do? Well, let's read. And verse 31, by chance, you want to do it again now? Just get over there and take it slow. And by chance, there came down a certain priest, And when he saw him, did you take a look at him? He passed by on the other side. Okay, you can sit down again. Religion could not help this man. Religion didn't care. Remember their philosophy? What's mine is mine. The thief said, what's yours is mine. They said, what's mine is mine. Then the Levite came along. And do I have someone over here who can be a Levite? No, don't look out around there, Evan. You're going to be the Levite. Now, hold there for just a moment. The Levite represents those who think they can be saved by being good and by keeping God's law. Let's read about the Levite. Verse 32, and likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked down on him, but passed by on the other side. Did the law help this man? No. The law was given to show us how much we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2:21, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul also said in Galatians 2:16, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So the Bible says that both religion, the priest, and the law, the Levite, passed by on the other side. They didn't help the man. They didn't care. Now, that brings us to our second point. First, we note the condition of the stranger. And second, we note the compassion of the Samaritan. So, Paul, I guess you get to be the Samaritan. Ooh, just stay right there for just a minute. And the Samaritan, in verse 33, we read, and you can act it out as I read it, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds. You see those wounds, don't you? He bound up those wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So, by the way, Jan is the inn. Okay, now you guys can go back. The Samaritan had a different philosophy. The philosophy of the Samaritan is what is mine is yours. Okay, the thieves, what is yours is mine. The religious, what is mine is mine. But the Samaritan, what is mine is yours. Remarkable story, because the Jews hated the Samaritans. They were half Jew, half Gentile. So the Jews didn't want anything to do with them. And it's interesting that Jesus chose as a character who took care of this man was a Samaritan. The Samaritan, I believe, represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reminds us that he's the only one who can meet your need. the wounds that were left by sin, in this case, the sin of the thief, those wounds could only be healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else can heal them. Religion can't heal them. I have a favorite story I like to tell to illustrate this. There was a man walking out a field, and he fell down in a well. And again, you want to? No, I'm just teasing. We might not get you out. But he fell into a well. And it was deep. And he was injured enough he couldn't climb out. And so he and the walls of the well were kind of mossy and slick anyway. And he couldn't get out of the well. And so he thought, what am I going to do? And about that time, a shadow fell across the top of the well. Somebody was up there. And so the man called up and he said, "Who's there?" And the answer was, "The Pope. I'm the Pope." And so he said to the Pope, he said, "Can you help get me out of this well?" And the Pope said, "Well, son, do you have any rosary beads?" And the man said, "No, I don't have any rosary beads." Pope said, "Well, I can't help you then." And he left. Another day goes by. The man hasn't had anything to drink. It's a dry well. He hasn't had anything to eat. He's getting weaker. But another shadow falls across the top of the well. And so the man said, called up, and he said, "Who's there?" And the voice came back, "Muhammad." And he said, "Muhammad, can you help me get out of this well?" And Muhammad said, "Well, son, you're going to have to make a pilgrimage to Saudi Arabia, to our place of worship there." And Muhammad left. And this man thought to himself, "How can I get to Saudi Arabia? I can't even get out of the well." Another day passes by, and he's really getting hungry and thirsty, and he's really weak. Another shadow falls across the top of the well. And so he called out. He said, "Who's there?" And a woman answered this time, Mary Baker Glover Patterson Eddy. And he said, "Mary Baker Glover Patterson Eddy, can you help me get out of this well?" She said, "What well?" She said, "That's all in your mind." She said, "You just sit down there and you think and you'll be out of the well." And she left. And so there he is, still in the bottom of the well. Another day passes. Now he's desperate. He's been without water for 4 days now. He doesn't think he could make it much longer. And another shadow falls across the top of the well. And he debated a while. "All these others haven't helped me. Can I trust this person to help me?" But it was his only opportunity, his only chance. So he called up and he said, "Who's up there?" Actually, in a weak voice, but loud enough to hear, "Who's up there?" And the person said, "Jesus." And this man said, "Well, Jesus, can you help me get out of this well?" Jesus said, "Yes, I can get you out of the well." He said, "Well, what do I have to do?" And Jesus said, "Nothing, I'm coming down for you." I like that story, don't you? See, Jesus is our only hope. This man had no hope. The thieves had attacked him. And they said, "What's yours is mine." They left him to die. The priest came along, looked at him, but passed on by. The Levite came along, passed on by. They didn't care. Their philosophy of life is, "What's mine is mine. I'm keeping what I got." But the Good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus Christ, found him and bound his wounds and delivered him to the innkeeper. And the philosophy of the Samaritan is, "What's mine is yours." And that's what God says to us, isn't it? "What I have is yours." The Father says, "If you'll just accept my Son, what he has, you'll have too." We become joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our third point. We've seen the condition of the stranger. We've seen the compassion of the Samaritan. And now we see the commission of the Savior. And let's read verses 34 and 35 again. "The Samaritan went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" And so the Samaritan took him to the inn, turned him over to the innkeeper, paid him 2 pence, and said, "I'll be back, and you take care of him." And in the story, I believe that innkeeper is us. Remember, the Good Samaritan is Jesus, and Jesus has a command to us to take care of people. And the main way we can take care of people is to meet their spiritual need. They need a Savior. They need someone who can help them. And so the Savior commissioned the innkeeper. The Samaritan commissioned the innkeeper to take care of this man, and whatever you spend, I'll give you more when I come again. So the innkeeper was commissioned, so are we. We have a commission to take the gospel into all the world. I'm so glad we can support all these missionaries, and we can have a part in obeying that command of taking the gospel into all the world. We give to help these missionaries to go, but I hope we do more than give. I hope we pray. And so we do everything we can to keep you aware of the needs. We post the letters, but we also do that, and Sandy's doing that for us now, doing the prayer request that we put in the bulletin. So, we keep you from having to walk around and writing down all these things. Isn't that nice? We just give them to you in the bulletin, and you can take them home. I hope you take them home. I hope you pray for these people. And not only was the innkeeper commissioned, but he was rewarded, wasn't he? The man paid him 2 pence. We'll talk about that in a minute. Is there a reward for us if we serve the Savior? Yes, there is. He's going to reward us. The third thing, the innkeeper was promised a return visit. And so are we. Jesus said He's coming again. Well, I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? What a wonderful thing. Now, as we think of our commission, we learn four basic truths from the actions of the Good Samaritan. The first action of the Good Samaritan was that he stopped. As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds. He stopped. And from this, I think we can learn a simple lesson. Do we have time in our busy schedules to stop and help someone who needs our help? We should. Sometimes we have to take that time. But we ought to have time to help other people. The second thing he did, he saw. In verse 33 it says, and when he saw him. And so the Good Samaritan saw this man that was wounded. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad Jesus sees sinners, aren't you? And he came to save sinners. And we have to think, what do you see when you see a lost soul? Do you see them in their lost condition? Do you see them in their destination apart from God in the direction they're going because they're sinners and they've not yet been saved and they're on that way down that we talked about? And then somebody that loves the Lord sees them and has compassion on them. So he stopped, he saw, and then he sensed. It says in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion on him. He not only stopped and saw, but he also sensed the need of this man. Of course, in this case, it wasn't hard to see that man's need because he's been wounded and left to die. And this man sensed his need, had compassion on him, did something about it. And by the way, compassion is not hard to find. When you have the Lord in your heart, you're going to care about people. You're going to see their needs. You're going to want to do something about it. So he stopped, he saw, he sensed. And number four, he sacrificed. I want to read again verses 34 and 35, and I want to show you how he sacrificed. Verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So let's look at how he sacrifice. First of all, he sacrificed his time. It took time to bend down and to take care of something going up flashing light. It took time. He took time to care for this man. He was willing to give that time. Second thing he sacrificed toil. In verse 34, he lifted that man up and put him on his beast, his donkey. And of course that meant that the Samaritan could no longer ride, so he had to walk the rest of the way down to Jericho, leading his donkey with the man that had been beaten upon the donkey. And as I said, at least it was downhill. You know? By the way, it doesn't say in the text, and I don't know that it's all that important, but I just have a picture, knowing the terrain there, that it was probably about halfway between Jerusalem and Jericho where this man got attacked. And so, this man sacrificed toil. It was work to take care of this man. The third thing he sacrificed treasure in verse 35. And the next day when he departed, on the morrow, the next day when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host. 2 pence, kind of like 2 pennies. And you say, well, that wasn't much. But this wasn't by our standards today. Back then, 2 pence represented 2 days' work. So this man gave money that it would take 2 days to earn to take care of this man. And also told the innkeeper, I'll be back, and if you have any more expense, I'll pay it. And I thought about that, and when is the last time that I gave, that you gave 2 days to someone in need? It's a little bit harder, isn't it? But we give it for a man's soul, like a good Samaritan. So now we have seen what it takes to be a good Samaritan. How do you rate yourself? I want to summarize this story like this. The robbers beat the man up. The priest and the Levite passed the man up. The Samaritan picked the man up and cared for him. Let's bow together in prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if there's any of you, as a Christian, upon reading this parable, how do you rate yourself as a good Samaritan?